Good morning.
Good morning, Char. It's Betty.
Hi, Betty. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Off to a roll at the beginning of the week.
I'm doing a slow roll this morning.
You're doing a slow roll. What did you do over the weekend?
I had grandkids here for a while that were doing some painting of furniture for themselves that I'm storing for them, and just being around doing things. So it was a nice weekend.
Older grandkids, not the age of mine, that's for sure, not painting the furniture.
Our youngest is 16.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's copying the other ones. Was he one of them and participating too, or?
Well, he was doing other things around. He cut our grass for some other stuff.
Oh, neat.
Yes.
That's good. That's very nice to have those kinds of grandkids.
Yes.
What a blessing.
Much appreciated, I'll tell you.
Oh, I know. I just gave Denny an idea. He loves it when I give him ideas that he has to complete. I said, of all the ideas I got before I could quit and go to bed last night because my brain was on a roll, I love it. Has arrived. I don't love it to happen at the time of night that it was last night when it happened. But anyway, I just kept, every time I looked at something, I had another idea for something else or that or whatever. I don't know why that happens to me. And my brain just kept going from one thing. Every time I looked at something or picked something up, I was trying to get to bed, and I go, oh, man, you know what I could do with this? Oh, I know. That's just exactly what I need to do. I go, oh, this is getting bad. So I sat in bed then afterwards and made a list of all the things I thought of in the last half hour before I went to bed. And I got this morning, I thought of two more that I missed writing down. So does anybody else do that?
Yeah.
Please tell me yes. Please tell me what yes, or else I'm going loopy here. I mean, one of them is trying to, the last one that involved Denny, I'll tell you. Who else came on? This is kind of gibberish, but it's funny, I think. Maybe a human thing that happens is funny instead of a comedian thing. Just Betty and I? No, I heard somebody else come on, too.
Hi, this is Elaine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't want to get too crazy here. If you throw that toy in that water again, I'm going to beat your butt. That's my kids. I mean, my cats, not my grandkids. Anyway, I'm talking about ideas that I get just before I go to bed when my brain starts rolling, and I haven't done anything to make it. To stimulate it, trust me. The last one was my pet peeve with this new, like the Vitamix, the new Blendtec. There's one thing I can't do that I really like to do that I got in the habit of doing, and that is do the 90-second ice cream. Well, you can do it according to their directions. It's so technical that if you're a couple of teaspoons off on the amount of moisture in there, it does not work. And I'm going, this is ridiculous. Put a recipe out, and somebody has to measure when they're making something like ice cream that it has to be within, you know, just a fraction of the amount of moisture in relationship to the ice, and the coldness of everything has to be precise. And I got the guy to admit it. He said, yeah, they should have done what they did with the Vitamix, and that put a tapper in it. So last night I'm underneath the cupboard pulling out stuff because something's not fit in right and the door won't go shut. Anybody ever have that happen in a cupboard?
Oh.
I'm sure you have, unless you're so anal that you've got such an established cabinet in every corner of your kitchen.
Oh boy,
You wish? Betty's the only one that's normal that would admit it to it like I do, huh? Anyway, So I find this thing that is a device for my grass, and it's kind of the shape of the tapper, and I don't know what you use that goes with the Vitamix. And I look at it, and I turn it around, and then I grab that, I grab the lid and pull it apart to the, not the Vitamix, but the BlendTec, and I shove this thing down in the center, and I'm looking at it, but I can see that I could do the same thing that I did to the Vitamix and not shove it all the way through and it'll, you know, chew the end of it off. And so that wouldn't work. So I look at the hole. It's a round, the top of it's round and the bottom of this stick that's about 12 inches long and halfway down or about halfway down approximately. It changes from round to a square that it's the right length, I think it'll work if I have a fair amount in the blender, not just maybe a couple of cups. Maybe I'll need 3 cups of stuff in there, and it will jar it loose when I push it down in there. Maybe only 2, but anyway. And so, but the problem is it will drop too low. So if I have Danny make me an insertion piece that's square that fits in the top of the lid of the vital, I don't know if you guys can visualize this or not. The lid of the BlendTec is indented on the top about 1 inch, and it fits over the top part of the ridge of the machine. So this would go down in the square hole, but the wood would fit down in that lip, and it would drop it down in. If I only had a piece of wood in there that was the right size, square, and then a round hole in the center to allow this not to drop too far down. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Plunger. Okay, you're visualizing what I'm saying. Because I'm sitting here holding this thing, looking at it, and trying to describe what I'm trying to get across. So then, I can't, that's the only thing I came up with last night that I couldn't do myself. Everything else I could do myself. This one I couldn't do myself. This one I want to be able to do. Because I told Danny, I said, you know what? Simpler things have been invented than a little square that would make this a user-friendly device to make 90-second ice cream out of every BlendTec that they screwed up on that they didn't make right. And maybe if we got it fine-tuned, you'd have something you could sell, either the idea to BlendTec, or you could just make the device and just put an email in. I mean, not an email, thing on the internet, on Facebook or whatever. Anybody's got a BlendTec that wants to make 90 second ice cream, I've got a $5 gadget that will convert, you know, your, a tool over to being able to do that. Idea? Guys, idea? Anyway,
yeah.
And that's a big, the big thing for me was not really that, but be able to say to people, hey, if you go get this machine that's $200 less than the Vitamix, I've got it working for everything, including my 90-second ice cream that it works really, really good on, because desserts are a big deal when you eat healthy, I think, especially when people start. And a 90-second really great soft serve ice cream out of the, you know, Jeannie's the one that got me started on it. It wasn't my idea to begin with. I mean, I had never done the 90-second ice cream. I don't know. Has anybody else done it that has a Vitamix? Have you done the 90-second knockoff ice creams or sorbets in it?
Oh, I haven't, but I've thought about it.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, once you do it, if you've got any grandkids and you make it for them and they walk in the door and they'll start saying, Grandma, can you make me that 90-second ice cream? Let alone Denny, you know, once he got started on it, because it's so easy and so quick to do and it's not precise. So if I get this one figured out, I'm going to be back on you guys about your 90-second dessert, because it's just too good to not do that. Only takes 90 seconds, and it doesn't take any amount of prep time except having some frozen strawberries and some coconut milk. So, yeah, that's my spiel.
I haven't heard about this. Where is it?
Huh?
I haven't heard about this blender. Where is it?
You can buy it online, or you can get the bigger model only at Costco. They've made up a device for Costco that has a better bowl on it. They call them top of the blender part, the bowl that holds everything. At least that's what Vitamix calls it, so I started calling it the blender bowl. And instead of being now $4.99 for the intro that they sell at Costco for the Vitamix, this one is either $3.25, or if there were any left when they quit doing the demo, they dropped them to $2.95. That's a big difference on a blender.
And you think it's comparable to the Vitamix?
In everything except the 90-second ice cream, yeah. I mean, there's a couple of little things that work a little bit better in the Vitamix. You know, it might be a minute faster or something like that, but not enough to even, I mean, because they probably don't use it as much in for as big a variety of things. You know, I would say, hey, if you're starting out and you don't have a couple of extra $100 to throw into a blender when you start eating this way, because there's so much you can do when you've got a really good blender, in making really good sauces and, you know, so many of the steps that we use call for a high speed, Furman's recipes, a huge percentage of them just straight call for a high speed blender. And that's what they're talking about is a Vitamix or a few of the other ones that are I think there's a health tech too that's, but I think the one at Costco is by far the least expensive. It is the easiest to clean. That's another thing I love about it. There are no ridges. There's nothing to get caught up down in there's no blade. The bottom of it is more like a food processor. It's big on the bottom.
Wow.
And so you've got one swish around it and everything's out of it. You're not working around in this little neck that's not any much bigger than a quart jar. For those that you do you have a Vitamix, Nancy?
No, I'm still in my Cuisinart.
Okay.
It's still going, and you know, I just couldn't see the point of
the difference between them.
Well, I don't know. I've never used it. Well, actually, my Vitamix that I got as a wedding gift, I didn't realize what a gift it was until it died, and everybody's talking about Vitamix. It had the metal container, and it wasn't the ones now, obviously. It would have been 50 years old next year.
I gave mine. I had the same model you're talking about. I gave mine to my son because there was still a little bit of life in it after I'd had it. I think I had it reconditioned once, and then gave it to him, and he just finished it out. I mean, it was like, okay, don't put any more money into getting it, redone.
I didn't even know you could redo it. Was yours a wedding gift also?
No, I bought it. I bought it really early on when we first got married.
Yeah, it wasn't that big of a container, but I used to use it to make my tomato soup, I remember. I wasn't into smoothies at the time, so it really wasn't used a lot over those years. But it finally died, and I didn't know you could even recondition them. Or maybe you could, I don't know.
Well, that one, I don't know how long they suggest keep doing that, and I don't, it depends on what the, what part of the motor it was and all that, but, for me to now not have a high-speed blender, and I don't know how good the Cuisinart is, in comparison, but, this thing is, these work for me. I've never, ever had any used at blender at anybody else's house that ever came ever close to this. And I've, had people tell me that they paid, probably $75 to $100 for one. If I'm going to spend that much, I'm going to put it towards something that I know really, really works good. It's kind of like the wheatgrass juicer. I wouldn't settle for the $125 after I saw the difference in what I got for the $3.25, I think mine was. Danny says, no, let's bite the bullet. And he's that way with equipment. He doesn't like the shortcut. If it's going to be something that's going to be used a lot for the engineering of it as well as, the job that it, the finished job that it does. But I mean, that's just the way we look at tools, because he's always been that way. And, you know, once we were in a place where we could afford to do it, we were that way, the same as probably.
Well, interestingly, you know, Vitamix is made in Cleveland on the west side.
Yes.
And periodically they will have sales, you know, for us. I just heard a commercial on the radio over the weekend for the first time, about an East Side location. I'm an East Sider, where I think you buy reconditioned ones. They must have opened another venue, at least, on the East Side to I guess, get just reconditioned. I guess there was a
call. I'm going to say hold on till I try this, and if it works.
You're not buying tomorrow.
Huh?
You're not buying tomorrow.
Because the thing I like the very most is it is so easy to clean. You can put your hand right around the blade at the bottom. It's not sharp. A kid could go put his hand, not when it's running, but you could put your hand down in there. There's nothing to get hung up on. No points, no sharp pieces of metal. And it's just really easy. I don't like to leave a bunch of stuff in the bottom, and I really hate, I haven't tried this one on peanut butter. I guess I'll try it on nut butter. I'll look it up in there. I know they have a recipe for it. And if it's adequate for making nut butter, I'll be making all my own, because the cost of almonds here for the raw almonds and for the toasted almonds is $2 a pound less than what they're selling it when you drop it in the grinder and grind it there. Now, don't ask me why. And all the other stores are $4 a pound more, and they're not organic nuts. They're the same stinking nuts that I buy at Winco for, I was paying up to, well, the going price was $3 and some cents, like $3.29 to $3.75. And at Christmas, it would jump up to, over $4, like $4.50 maybe. And, so you didn't buy them when people started baking. You always bought them ahead of time because the price would go up because they, whatever, the more demand and so forth. And maybe they were, you know, going through more of them in the season and thought they were going to run lower. What, I don't know. Anyway, that's what they were doing. And so, for years I've done that. And now with cashews down to $2.77 a pound, and they've stayed at that price for I don't know how long, to make cashew cream or cashew milk or any of that kind of stuff, you know, hey, it's a done deal. Any place else, cashews are double to triple that amount. You know, and I'm not talking about buying them in a health food store either. I'm just talking about, you know, a less expensive place to buy them, including online. So enough said about purchases, but, you know, I'm in it for you guys to be able to save money wherever you can and still have a good product. I need to know if I gave you the celery root soup recipe.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. I won't repeat that one then. I just wanted to know because I didn't have it checked off or written down. I made it for the second time last night, and oh, my gosh, that's like eating dessert for me. I'll tell you, you do need that granny apple in there, though, or a tart one. We've got some tart ones in our orchard, so I went out and I tasted about four apples to find one that was just right, and the varieties, because we've probably got 10 different varieties of apple trees, and I'm going to have apples coming out the yin-yang. I wish, if you didn't mind, if you'd rather have an insect visible someplace in the core at some point in them than the chemicals, or not pay whatever you pay for organic apples. And hope that they really are and there aren't any pesticides on them. I would wish that you were nearby so you could come and get a few buckets full, because our cows are going to be healthy with apples, right, before we get through this season. But that's what happens. Any comments or questions? Okay, I've got an interesting article, at least it was interesting to me, because it came up on the call, and, oh darn, my paper didn't run. I must be out of paper. I'll read it off the computer that I have to look at. I've got it up here. It was, I found it on Bob's Red Mill, and it's comparing Gar gum to Xanthan gum. How many of you use one or both?
I do. I have both.
You have what, Nancy? Or, Betty?
I said I've used both.
You've used both of them, okay. And do you know the difference, or how would you describe the difference?
No, I don't know the difference.
Okay, what did you use them for? Tell me.
Gosh, it's been so long since I've used it at this point, I don't even remember what I used it for, Char.
Could it have been a gluten-free recipe you tried?
Well, yes, it would have been.
Okay. Well, there's a lot more uses for it than that, I'll tell you. Out of paper. I'm going to print this other sheet. I'd much rather work off of a piece of paper than the computer right now. I use the two of them all the time. I do use more Gar gum than I do Xanthan gum. And if you do any of you use cornstarch?
Yes, very much.
Okay, you're the only one, or Jeannie, or Betty, that uses cornstarch very much? Anybody else?
This is Anita.
That was Anita, and I have used it, but I don't use it very much anymore.
Okay.
Just for gravy?
Well, yeah, gravy or anything you want to thicken up. And I don't know, maybe you guys aren't very much into making your own dressings, because I am, especially if I got after I got started on Furman stuff and not wanting those dressings that you buy in bottles. Xanthan gum or Gar gum is incredible for dressings and everything. Do you guys, do either any of you know where the Gar gum comes from? I'll start with that.
No.
Comes from a bean. It's as natural as can be. Much better than using cornstarch, just for the food value of it. But the big thing is you use a tiny amount. Where you would use 2 tablespoons of cornstarch, you'd probably use a 1/4 teaspoon of Gar gum. And it thickens. And the great thing about Gar gum is it doesn't have to be heated. You can drop a little bit in a dressing, and it'll give it a little bit of texture that it's going to hang on to the vegetables, just like that. And all you do is mix it in, either with a whisk, or if you're throwing it in a bullet or a blender or whatever you're doing, however you're doing it, it'll dissolve right in. And it doesn't need to be cooked at all. Xanthan gum, most of the recipes suggest are using it where you're going to heat it. Now, I don't know whether that's true, that it really has to be cooked. I haven't gotten to that point because I probably didn't read this thoroughly enough when I got the list. But here's the list of, and if we're gluten-free, they're just all over the place with it, because that's how you get the textures in what you're doing if you have to cook or want to experience doing something that's gluten-free. And I did enough of that I used them both in that. But I'm not using any gluten. I'm not doing any gluten, any amount of gluten-free stuff. I might do a recipe that turns out to be gluten-free, but I'm not looking for them anymore. I don't list of starches they put in the stuff because there's no food value. So, and the vegetables, you know, you don't count for gluten anyway. But it's got it here in salad dressings. Use a 1/2 teaspoon. Okay, they've got the formula right here. Use a 1/2 teaspoon of, they've got xanthan gum per 8 ounces of liquid. How much Gar gum? Okay. So I guess they're using it interchangeably. What I knew about it previously, that the xanthan gum needed to be heated like you would cornstarch in something. They're saying no. And I do trust Bob's Red Mill when they put stuff out, because they have their own package of xanthan gum and Gar gum. And you can pick it up in all the health food stores. I bought the little packages in the discount store and got them for, you know, by the pound it's expensive, but not when you're talking about using a quarter of a teaspoon, for Pete's sake. So it goes a long, long way. So I really, really suggest that you use, okay, different ways. Let's see, in the kitchen there are also important differences between xanthan gum and gar gum. And in general, gar gum is good for cold foods. Oh, here it is. Gar gum is good for cold foods such as ice cream, pastry fillings, while xanthan gum is better for baked goods. Xanthan gum is the right choice for yeast bread. Foods with a high acid content, such as lemon juice, can cause gar gum to lose its thickening abilities. For recipes involving citrus, you will want to use xanthan gum or increase the amount of gar gum used. Okay, I didn't know that, so that's one I didn't know. But anyway, these are two essentials, just like we used to use flour for thickening gravy. We don't do gravies, but, you know, even in my milk, I found that when I was doing my alternative milk, which I still am, I shouldn't say was doing it, we're just not using as much because we're not using the cereals in the morning, found that if I put, like a quarter of a teaspoon in almost a half gallon of milk, it gave a much closer to milk texture than the way it was without it. And whether it was the assimilating the sugar content in there, there's no taste to it. You can't tell there's anything in it at all. But there's no negative to using it. The other one, the xanthan gum, isn't just from a bean, and let's see if they say here what, how they described it. It was too long to try and remember and recite. Okay, if you're new to gluten-free baking, let's see, what are the difference between xanthan gum and gar gum? This is the very beginning. Both are ingredients frequently called for in gluten-free recipes and can seem exotic at first. And this came up because one of the gums is in our KBB, and somebody was questioning that since they're on the labels of so many foods, that they probably are a synthetic in a chemical form. Well, they're not chemical form. Both serve the same general purpose as thickeners and emulsifiers. Quite simply, both are ingredients that help keep your mixes mixed. Okay, that's another reason. You put them in the mix and they stay together instead of separating. I forgot about that one. They keep oil droplets from sticking together and separating, and solid particles from settling in the bottom. Oh, say, I'd forgotten that one, too. So if you've got a can of something, it's going to keep things mixed together. Maybe that's one of the reasons that Nican uses it. So the ingredients don't separate, and you're using one out of the top. That could very well be. You can use just one or the other, or sometimes for best results, you can use them in combination together. In conventional recipes, wheat, rye, barley, flour serves the same purpose as gar gum and xanthan gum. Okay, that was another part. Okay. If I explain it in my own words, okay. In gluten, you've got the gluten. In the other things, when you're mixing mixes together, you're trying to assimilate the gluten by utilizing these products is where they come in. Gluten protein is what traditionally allows recipes to rely on the thickening of the dough or batters and traps air bubbles to make baked goods light and fluffy. Xanthan gum tends to help. The starches combine to trap air, while gar gum helps keep large particles suspended in the mix. Okay, there's another difference. One of these differences between the two products is that where they can't come from. Gar gum is made from a seed native to tropical Asia. Okay, that's why we aren't as familiar with it. While xanthan gum is made by the microorganism called, and I'm not going to try and pronounce it. So that's a little bit on just two things that are staples in my kitchen that, because I've gotten so accustomed to working with them and using them, that, you know, it would be like salt and pepper to me. I probably use it more than I do salt and pepper, quite honestly. And they've got the breakdown. I won't go into the breakdown for using it in gluten-free recipes because I don't think most of you are doing that. So, let's see.
You started talking about this. I immediately thought of, and you said thickeners. I immediately thought of chia seeds. I don't know whether you could substitute them or not.
Not to keep a dry mix mixed,
oh, no.
I don't think.
Oh, because
you
it doesn't thicken unless it gets wet.
Right. It makes it gel, more of a gel.
Yeah.
Just doesn't change the substance like that. It doesn't do anything like chia seed does.
Well, that's just where my mind went immediately for some reason. That was weird.
Yeah, no. See, and that's good because bringing it back up makes me realize that I did have some. How long do you keep it in the refrigerator when you make it into a gel and use it that way, Nancy?
I don't. I mean, I just noticed that happens. I don't.
Oh, okay. I thought you were using it as a gel in with things.
No, but I know that if I put it in my smoothie, it thickens it up quickly.
Right. Right. I've got mine so packed with vegetables, I have to water it down anyway, so mine never has a problem with being thick enough.
Oh, me too.
It's only too thick, so I don't really think about doing that. I do it for the food value I'm adding to it. But regarding corn in xanthan gum. Corn in xanthan gum, the microorganism that produces xanthan gum is actually fed a glucose solution that is derived from wheat starch. Gluten is found in the protein part of the wheat kernel. This is getting probably way too technical. I don't think I need to go there. But anyway, there's not a negative on using it that I've ever found. And if it was going to be someplace, I'm sure Bob's Red Mill would have it. I trust their honesty and their integrity to deliver the goods as they state. And this was on their website, so put
so
in there.
So there's actual corn in it of some kind?
There's what?
Corn in the xanthan gum?
No, they're saying the microorganism that produces xanthan gum is actually fed a glucose solution that is derived from wheat starch. Gluten is found in the protein part of the kernel. See, I better read the first update. We're so pleased with the awesome response we get when we post things like this. We do our best to answer any question all of the remaining questions. However, we have found that there are a lot of questions here that we don't know much about, like ice cream making and salad dressings. Again, we will do the best possible, but we're really only experts at baking with these two products. Okay, that was their statement from Bob's Red Mill. Regarding the corn in xanthan gum, somebody evidently asked a question about the microorganism is producing xanthan gum is actually fed a glucose solution that is derived from wheat starch. Gluten is found in the protein part of the wheat.
Has left the conference.
And no gluten is contained in the solution of the glucose. So this is for people that were dealing with glucose intolerance. After the bacteria eats the glucose, there is no wheat to be found. Which is what makes up the xanthan gum. The short answer here is there is no corn used at all in the making of the gum. No corn used at all in the making of the xanthan gum.
Okay.
So it's free for, you know, people that are watching corn products for gluten purposes, is what they're saying.
Well, no, I'm thinking we were driving to Toledo on Saturday, where Ohio is the second leading corn producer, and all I could see was GMO written across it.
Yeah, did they have their signs out?
No.
Montana didn't have their signs out on the field?
No, I didn't see any, but I kept wondering as I was driving past these huge acreages of corn.
Well, maybe they've taken them down because it's gotten to be such a political issue, but when we drove back the last time to New York, I mean, every time I saw one of those signs, I wanted to go rip it out of the ground because they were all along the highway.
Really?
This is the Monsanto field. Huh?
Were you on the turnpike or on two? Do you remember? I don't remember
what one I was on. There are little signs posted right in the ground, like you'd have a little for sale sign on your farm or a little sign that would say, keep off, you know, this is private property or something, just like a for sale sign.
Yeah, I didn't know.
They weren't billboards. They weren't billboards by any means, but there were so many thousands of them that every time I saw them, my blood just boiled. You know, they're doing this to our food and they're proud of it.
Well, I told you Mindy gets this veggie thing every week, and this is at least the third or fourth or fifth time she got corn in her thing, and she gave us four. I think she may have gotten eight, I don't know. And I wondered, you know, it's from local farmers, so are they able to grow locally in their own little private thing good corn? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about the individual areas either, but I just know that I'm very willing, and I haven't gotten any of the CDs out to anybody yet either, that, you know, if we can get to a tipping point of, I know what I wanted to tell you guys this morning. It's on the back of one of my magazines. Let me go get it. Because it takes place in Pennsylvania, and the whole lineup of people that are speaking. Where did I lay that magazine? I took had the whole stack of them and put them together. There's a veg fest, just like we have here in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in Pennsylvania.
Mm.
And I think it's actually even bigger than the one we've got. Oh, come on. It's a whole little stack that I set aside. Nobody's heard of it, Betty. You not heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my gosh. It's back. It's on the back page of the Veggie Times. You guys all get the Veggie Times, don't you?
Well, yeah,
maybe it was. Huh?
Which issue, do you remember?
Well, it was one that just came out, but you know, as I'm thinking, it might be that special issue on healing foods.
Oh.
They may have taken it out on that one. Oh, come on. I didn't carry it up to the bedroom, and I had them last night, but it was too late to keep working on it.
On the back of the September issue that I have, it has... World Vegetarian Day, October 1st, is the annual kickoff of Vegetarian Awareness Month.
I'm sure it was the back cover and not inside. I've seen the ad so many times, I don't know why I've forgotten to mention it. But I know I have, because I thought of it last night, and I thought, man, I've never, ever mentioned this to anybody. Oh, that makes me so mad when I do that. Move my magazines, a whole pile of them that I was going through.
Well, you can always tell us tomorrow, sure.
Yeah, I can, yeah. Anybody have any other comments or questions? I don't even know what time it is. Oh, way past. My gosh, where did it go? We better say goodbye and get on the road here instead of rambling. I didn't realize I was taking that long with that. Topic on Gargum. Anyway. anyway, I will find it and give it to you tomorrow. So if it's within range, I mean, how far a drive is that for you, Nancy?
It depends on which part of Pennsylvania you're talking.
Yeah, yeah.
Big state.
I can't remember. To the border, what is it?
Oh, to...
the nearest.
Youngstown was an hour and a half, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll have it for you tomorrow because I know it's sitting right in front of me somewhere. I've moved it. Anyway, you guys make it a wonderful day. And I hope the Xanthan Gargum stuff stimulates you to try it and some dressings because it makes all the difference in the world with the texture of them and how it hangs onto the salad, and you've got no taste at all that I can tell. I've never tasted anything, and I've never had anybody think that they could either. And those 70-second dressings that are in the Eat to Live book are definitely worth trying, and I like some of the tasty dressings that bring out the flavor of the vegetables. So there's my advertisement for it. Anyway, make it
Thanks,
a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.